Hey, Sam, thanks for being prepared. Hey, Nick, be prepared next time, asshole.
Wrecked.
All right, you're right. I'm sorry. When I said I didn't know if I'm going to show up, it meant I'm for sure showing up. Ooh, let's start with that one.
Hello and welcome to Card Knock Life, episode 703. I'm your host, Corey Murphy, here with your host, Daryl Feltner.
Heyo!
And we've got Nick Keller back.
Apparently I'm a host, hey guys.
And Sam, yeah?
You're not a host, you're just back.
Oh, okay. So I'm co-host, guest.
You're a returning guest.
Returning guest.
Sam, you can't talk yet, you haven't been introduced, man. People are going to hear that voice, and they're not going to recognize you, and they're going to be like, what the hell is going on? Okay. Now we're back to this dimension, and Sam's joining us this week, the real Sam Bruni. Now you can say
hi. Hey, guys.
All right. Now that we've all been properly introduced, we're going to begin. And I got a couple of things just to say before we get started here with our stuff segment. First of all, a few announcements. The first one being that we are still looking for content writers, creators, and streaming players and recorders and things of content for the website, so that would include Card Knock Life Plays videos where you run, deck lists just like we have posted all over the site, as well as write any article about a deck that you might be playing or might be interested in. So if you are interested in doing that, let me know. You can email me at cardknocklifepodcast@gmail.com. That will be in the show notes.
Quick spoiler alert on that. Next week's Card Knock Life Plays will include an episode of Vintage for those of you that are into that thing.
Good. I was going to say that last time, and I totally forgot. But, yeah, we got to get some Vintage videos up there. I think that would be fun to watch, figure out how the hell some of those decks get played. Because even if you look at the list and, you put them together, you, kind of sit there with your hand, and you're like, okay, now what? At least that's my experience.
That's exactly how I feel, and I'm still figuring the format out. But it's extremely fun.
So we're actually going to watch you do that.
Yeah, I will be playing some Vintage for Card Knock Life Plays.
All right. Sweet. And then that's the last announcement, I guess. So we're going to get started here, but the introduction we're going to do this week is the best art in the game. And so I hope you guys have something in mind. I know it's hard to just pull something out like that, but I'm going to give you 5 seconds.
Well, that would imply that you didn't give us time to prepare for this question.
Well, I kind of did, but you get 5 more seconds.
All right,
you didn't give me enough time to peruse the art of every card ever created, though.
Yeah, but something's got to come up to you, man.
I already have it.
All right, Dale, you start off.
Eternal Witness.
Okay.
Fifth Dawn.
Okay. Because the Carmel one's pretty sweet.
No, I actually have the Eternal Witness playmat. Love that art.
Oh, very lucky.
Is that the one from the GP or what?
It's a Star City one.
Oh, okay.
No, but I am a big fan of Therese Nielsen Iron Eternal Witness. It's a beautiful card.
So how is it that, and I'm going to go on a tangent already, but how is it that Star City can print, they must buy the rights to that art to print on their playmats like that. Okay, because TCG Player does not do that, and then they have to get their original art, which seems like it would be more expensive than buying the rights to art that already exists. But they come up with some really random ass designs on some of them. I've got one with a bunch of witches flying on brooms. I think it was for Modern States or something. And it's so awkward. It's very Quidditch. But then some of them turn out really sweet, and they should totally use them for cards. I don't know if you guys have seen the Diamond 5Ks that they run. They've got arts for top 64 for that with this Grixis looking chick that's I don't know, doing some magic. It's pretty badass.
Wow, that was insightful.
Yeah, I'll put, you know what? I was just hoping that one of you guys would be like, oh yeah,
the magic chick.
Yeah. Yeah. The problem is that you just don't need more playmats. I just use them for mouse pads. I have so many playmats. You just accumulate so many.
Yeah, yep. But you got to pick the best one, though. Then if you get, 15 shitty playmats and one good one, then you're going to use that one good one, right?
Well, how about I just give you guys a part of this bag of Deathrite Shaman playmats I have from...
Oh, my God. Yes, please do.
I acquired, a dozen of them.
It's probably a good idea. If you don't mind me asking, what did you end up paying for all those?
I paid on-site, I paid $50 a mat.
Okay, and you think they're going to be worth, $100?
No, I pay $50 a mat because I had people telling me that I will pay you $50 if you get a playmat for me and send it to Madison.
Okay.
So I bought half a dozen to a dozen of those playmats and I'm sending them to Madison.
Okay. And then, so the Brainstorm ones, what are those at right now?
Like 100?
Those are nuts. I know there's a lot of hype on those.
I'll come back with some. Which one? The GP brainstorms? I'll come back with those.
Yeah, the GP brainstorms.
Those went down. I thought they were like started at like 100, and I thought they went down to like 50, 75 ish now.
Oh, are they?
I think so, well, but I could be wrong. I'm some research very, here. Very prone to being wrong.
I don't understand people paying so much for a playmat. Like, they're awesome, but they don't have cute turtles on them.
Ooh, oh my God. The new one. There's the Delver of Secrets going to be a flip mat.
The Delver of Squeakrits?
Yeah.
Oh, you can get one for $45.
Yeah, that's I just eBayed it. $45, yeah. No, the new playmat for a GP is literally like Delver of Secrets, and then you flip the playmat over, and it's Insectile Liberation.
That's pretty badass.
That's so cool. That's pretty cool.
You don't even have to take it out of the sleeve.
Well, no. You got a sleeve, Matt. You've got a really big sleeve.
So what's the purpose of that, though?
It's awesome as crap.
I mean, it's cool. It's a flavor thing, dude.
It's totally. Yeah, I guess. So every
you gotta
turn.
You got to spam the flash.
Yeah, Delver Secrets is a magic card that flips. And so, like, it's a double-faced card. I don't know if you're familiar with Delver Secrets, but
that's
flips.
Why. Oh, thanks, Nick. Yeah.
So, it coincides with the card, so it, like, flips. There's two different arts.
All right, of the Delver Secrets talk. I hate that card.
All right. So cool. Who's got more art for us?
All right. My favorite art in the game is the From the Vault Legends Teferi.
Okay, sweet.
I really love Teferi. The first deck I ever built when I started playing competitively was Teachings, and Teferi was the centerpiece of the deck. And then they released an even sweeter, more badass art of Teferi.
Oh, you mean Michael Jordan?
Yeah, he does look like Michael Jordan. That's pretty awesome.
What can
awesome.
I say? I want to like Teferi.
Yeah, that's a sweet card, too. Nick, you got one?
Yeah, Sauron, Lord of Innistrad. He is, like, the coolest guy. I started playing when Innistrad came out, and then, like, the first weekend, like, pre-release, and just, like, seeing that Sauron is just, like, so badass. He's holding a big-ass sword, and he's just like, I don't give a fuck. I'm not allowed to say that, am I? Oops.
No, yeah, we'll cut that part out, but
okay.
just the F-bomb.
Just the F-bomb minutes. We can't say?
We'll put the content in there, and then just remove the explicit... whatever.
Language.
There we go. Hey, yeah, I'm looking at this art. Basically, all the Sauron arts are, like, the same. Like, it's just, like a waist-up pose of the dude. And he, like, doesn't change, like, visually in, like, any of the, like, different versions of himself.
Well, he's a vampire. He doesn't age.
I know, right. But then there's, like, the other Sauron, and he looks the same.
Right. I mean, they're not going to change people.
Yeah, but they like if they have changed in somehow in the story, like, they've got to look different. Like, he can at least wear a different jacket.
I don't think so.
When you're in a fantasy thing, you can't change clothes or people might not recognize you.
Is that right? All right. Well, he's got the thing that Iron Man has on his chest.
And that, does
that's
he?
His recognizable quality. Yeah, he's got that little red gem.
Oh, the red one? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Mine is Rafik of the Many. You guys remember that card from Shards?
Yeah. Critical question.
Yeah, it's pretty badass.
The actual Rafik art or Rafik riding the lion from the Vault Legends?
Oh, the actual Rafik art, of course.
That's
he's
fair.
Got, like, this sweet Rasta lion head behind him, which is, like, really BA.
But he's riding the lion in the From the Vault Legends art.
Yeah, oh, but in the From the Vault Legends one, his beard doesn't look as magnificent.
That's fair.
Yeah. He actually, now that I pulled that one up, that one's pretty sweet, too. He's got a giant sword and shit. I guess he does in both. Anyways, he's cool, and I'm always sad that card doesn't get played in Modern, because I think it could.
If he had a 4-butt, he would be played, maybe, but he can't because he doesn't have a 4-butt.
Huh?
Yep.
That sucks. Okay.
I've tried.
Be good with Geist, you know?
It's really good with Geist, but too bad one of them dies to Bolt.
And the other one dies to Snapcaster, maybe.
Exactly. It's just the worst case scenario.
All right, anyways, we got to get to the actual content here. We're going to try to finish on time tonight, and I know I'm, like, making that really hard to do with...
No chance.
We'll talk fast.
BS. Okay, so here's what we're going to talk about. First of all, I'd like to just mention that Saturday we've got the Penny Arcade PAX Prime panel. That's on like 7:30 on Saturday, and that's on Twitch, which I don't think that's been the case in previous years. So they always streamed it? I don't know.
Twitch
I never watched
stream.
This. Yeah, they stream on Twitch, but do they always stream the Penny Arcade Expo, like this panel?
Oh, I have no idea.
I don't know. I was told that it's been hard to access in the past, and so it's exciting that it's on 7:30 on a Saturday night. I can't imagine I'm going to be sitting at my computer watching it, but we'll catch the YouTube upload later. So look forward to that. And then we've got spoilers coming on what did you say, Sam? The 7th?
Yeah, 3 weeks before the set comes out, so they start spoiling.
Ah, that's how they do it. Okay, cool. Yeah, so excited for this set. Definitely got a lot of things to look forward to. Hopefully. Zendikar suite, so All right. Sam, do you want to talk about your standard stuff first before we get into modern?
Sure. Yeah, so after Hangerback Abzan destroyed the last GP, it took first place and there were, what, two more copies in the top eight? I, as an Abzan control player, naturally started trying to jam Hangerback Walker into Abzan control since he's the best card in the format. And it turns out that when he's not backed up by Anafenza, he's not the greatest, and I ended up cutting him. But I think he's fine in a world where there's a lot more aggro, because he gives you a proactive turn two play, which you're usually lacking in the deck. He lets you play more main deck Dromoka's Command, which is the best card ever against mono red and various Thopter decks. And he just is a lot of blockers for not a lot of mana. I ended up ultimately cutting him for the control list because I just wanted more interactive spells that were good at all stages in the game. Like, Hangerback is fine if you draw him late, but he just takes up your whole turn to make one big dude, wherein you'd rather be ultimate pricing a Stormbreath Dragon or something. Right. But, I mean, I think the card is very, very good. Hangerback Abzan was so good because it was both the best deck for abusing him with all the plus one counter synergy and the best deck against him with Anafenza exiling your opponent's Hangerbacks and making them vanilla overcosted guys.
Yeah.
And I think going forward, he's going to heavily affect people's card choices. There's going to be tons and tons of like revoke existences and unravel the aethers in people's boards. So it's not a good time to play red, white artifacts. And I think the backlash against Hangerback Abzan will cause a lot more people to play languishes. And so, as a result, I think you want to be on Fabrizio Antares' list, which had just like basically four of all the creatures instead of the Matteo Mores' list, which had two Den Protectors and two Wingmate Rocks. I think Matteo Mores' deck with the Wingmate Rocks is better for that tournament specifically because Wingmate Rock is ridiculous in the mirror, but it's way, way worse than Den Protector against Languish. So I think going forward, you want four Den Protectors, as that's just always the card you want to draw in the late game.
So you're talking GP London, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this is the first time that we've seen this deck is GP London. Yes, with Hangerback Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So basically, like, so people realize that it slots in perfectly to Abzan because you've already got, you know, your Anafenzas putting plus one counters on the dude, Dromoka's Command putting plus one counters on the dude, and then a Johnny Mentor of the Heroes is all of a sudden good because he also puts plus one counters on the dude.
And Anafenza does as well.
Yep. Did I mention that one? I thought I did. I tried right. to.
Abzan Charm and Dromoka's Command do as well. Like, there's like four different cards that put counters on it.
Okay. And so there are lots of like sweet tricks. Like Abzan Charm is instant speed. You can throw two more counters on it and get two more dudes out of it. But I want to know, and this seems a little janky, but if you think about it, it works out pretty well. Why Abzan Ascendancy doesn't fit into a deck with like Hangerback Walker. Maybe like a one or two of. You know what that card does? I mean, it hasn't seen a lot of play, so it's easy to forget about.
No, it's white, black, green. Yeah. Enchantment that when it comes into play, you put a plus one counter on all of your creatures. And then whenever a non-token creature you control dies, you get a 1/1 flying spirit, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that there could possibly be a list out there with that card and Hangerback Walker and Evolutionary Leap.
Yeah.
To just grind forever.
Right, and I don't necessarily mean exactly this, the Abzan midrange. But sorry, go on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that list needs some more tools to grab tempo back because you're playing a lot of weak 2-mana cards in Hangerback and Evolutionary Leap.
Okay.
Also, I've just been thinking in the past week that, like, okay, I'm thinking of a card. It's a 2-mana 1/1 artifact creature that grows over time, and when it dies, it redistributes its power onto the board. What creature am I thinking of?
Tybalt, Arcbound Ravager.
Yeah, it's Arcbound Ravager, and it's also Hangerback Walker.
Right.
Hangerback Walker is Arcbound Ravager.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Nick, what were you going to say, man? Sorry.
Were you trying to make a reference to the Aristocrats deck in the show notes, or is that not a thing?
Yeah, I was maybe going to get to that. Okay. Yeah, that's happening. Preview. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
But before we do, though, let's just imagine this in the standard version of the deck. Because, like, even a one-of, like, an Abzan Ascendancy, and I'm not saying it's going to make the deck better, but it might change it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
On it, at the worst, you get two more dudes out of it. And then if you play it after the Walker blows up, then it's a crusade for him, right?
No, because it's only after it's only plus one counter, and like it's only non-token, so like it's not that great synergy with Hangerback Walker because like you only get to use it once with Hangerback.
Yeah.
So like Hangerback dies, you draw a card. I mean that's pretty good, but it's not. I don't think it's worth a card because then you just need like I don't know. It doesn't seem very good in a Hangerback Walker deck, but like more like a. Evolutionary Leap seems pretty good, though.
Like, well, if you put Ascendancy after you sack the Walker,
that's right, what I'm saying. Then it's a Crusade, right?
Right.
So, or whatever
it's
you call it.
It's a one-time Crusade, right. Yeah.
So, I don't know. The card's a little shitty, but I'm just thinking in a magic world where... I mean, this is a magic world. where you play more mana dorks in the deck. All right, I'll leave it. I'll let it be.
Just let it die.
Let it die. Okay, anyways. So, basically, Daryl's going to be playing this deck soon, and Daryl's got some problems with the deck because he didn't order what?
Okay, so the sideboard needs to have Herald of Torment so that you can beat Elspeth. Otherwise, Elspeth is a huge problem for this deck because it just blocks Hangerback Walker all day, can minus to blow up Anafenza and Siege Rhino immediately.
Would you say that it's the biggest problem for this deck?
Definitely. Okay. Elspeth has always been sort of the trump in the Abzan mirror, barring Ugin. I guess Ugin is even more of a trump, but the Hangerback Abzan deck doesn't have Coursers to help you at land drops to play Ugin. So Elspeth is going to be the end-all be-all in that world.
Now, Hangerback tokens have flying. The Thopters do.
They do.
So yep. Is that not enough to beat the Elspeth down?
Well, you don't kill the Hangerback Walker. You're either exiling it with Abzan Charm if it gets too big,
yeah,
or
okay.
Chump blocking it forever with Elspeth tokens, and then eventually ultimating Elspeth to kill them in one shot if it doesn't.
Okay. Now, Fabrizio doesn't have Herald of Ferment, does he?
He does not.
Okay. So what did he do in that situation? Did he just lose? I did not watch the coverage.
Yeah, probably. I mean, he has like one Glare of Heresy in the board. And
he has exactly one Hero's Downfall in his deck, which seems incorrect, but I could see that being a thing now. I don't know.
So I guess Warden of the First Tree can also kill Elspeth if it gets huge and trampoly.
Right, yeah. The thing I'm wondering about, Sam, is like these decks also play Dromoka's Command, right? So do they side those out in game two because they don't have targets without the Coursers in the deck, or what?
Yeah, generally you want to sideboard out Ultimate Price, you want to sideboard out Dromoka's Command, you want to sideboard out... Well, I guess I'd keep in Bioblade against Fleeceman Lion versions, but yeah, you want to sideboard out all of your weak conditional removal for stuff that can generate card advantage in the Abzan mirror, because even the Hangerback Walker deck, ostensibly being an evolution of Abzan aggro, is still going to be a grind in the mirror.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, Sam, you kind of missed the card that beats Elspeth in the sideboard.
Which is?
Tragic Arrogance.
I mean, they get to keep their Planeswalker.
Right, but you leave them with a Soldier versus sacrifice your Den Protector if you want, or you can keep it for the artifact, and you keep like a Den Protector, or your Hangerback Walker, sorry, and a Den Protector so you can attack through the Soldier because it's flipped. And
yeah, that's true. Tragic Arrogance is really amazing, too. I actually play it over Languish in my Abzan Control deck.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's super insane. Like, you're... best creature is almost always better than their worst creature. Like, you could Wrath, or you could leave it with your Siege Rhino versus their Elvish Mystic.
Sold.
Speaking of sweet art, if you like Self-Inflicted Wound is in the sideboard, if you look at that one, that dude's stabbing himself in the neck. That's pretty sweet.
Speaking of sweet art, Gideon's face on Tragic Arrogance is what your opponent looks like after you cast it, keeping your Hangerback Walker and your Siege Rhino and your Planeswalker.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, what the hell? Where's all my shit?
My life.
All right, so Daryl, why are you playing Standard this weekend? Can you explain that? You don't do that very often.
I do not play the Standard usually at all. I'm actually going to the StarCity Games Invitational. I won an invite in October last year, so this is the last Invitational. I have to use it before it expires. And this is a Standard Legacy Invitational.
Nice.
So I'll be playing Hangar, Dad, Abzan in Standard. I'll be playing Miracles in Legacy. And then if I bomb out of that tournament, or I'm sorry, if I don't top 8 that tournament, because Sunday will be the magic day, I'll be playing Modern. I'll be playing 5-Color Control in Modern. So I'm going to play literally all of the formats this weekend.
Wait, you should be playing 5-Color Control in Modern?
Yes.
Yeah, dude. We call it Glit Control.
I was thinking about making a 4-color control, but that sounds better.
Oh, you're a baby if you're playing only 4 colors in your control deck.
I know. You have Tribal Flames. You get to kill all the things with Tribal Flames.
Oh, no. You're not even playing that card.
No?
It's not good enough.
It's a sorcery.
Can I just talk to you privately for a second? Daryl, don't listen to this.
Okay.
Nick, that 5-color control deck is really inconsistent. I wouldn't recommend playing it or putting it together, but it's kind of fun to play online sometimes. So, Daryl, you can listen again.
Thanks, bro.
Well, Daryl, I hope you make top eight so that I can see you at the next Invitational, because I'll be at the Vegas one.
Nice.
Hey.
No, by the way, Skylands in the five-color control deck make the deck much better.
Okay. All right. I'm willing to give it another chance now that you said that. It wasn't the problem that it loses to aggro, and now that you have comes into play tapped lands, you lose to aggro even harder?
I mean, you had comes into play tapped lands anyways. Because
yeah,
you had,
I guess,
vivids. They're just vivids that fix your draws now.
Okay. All right. Anyways, the moral of the story is, good luck this weekend, Daryl. We're all rooting for you. Hopefully you'll take home the trophy and make us proud.
Hopefully I don't need my modern deck this weekend.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Hopefully you don't have to play that five-card control deck. So there was a segue that Nick mentioned before, and that had to do with the ascendancy, and I guess we'll jump to that next. So I've been seeing this deck a lot, and maybe you guys have too, particularly on Cockatrice, but there's a Mardu Aristocrats deck going around in Modern right now.
You mean Abzan?
Mardu or Abzan?
What did I say?
Both.
Mardu, Abzan, Abzan Aristocrats. So the original one is Mardu.
One of those wedges has red in it, so it sucks.
Correct.
All right, don't go there. So this deck is full of like really all these like recurring like one drops,
really
basically.
Bad creatures,
and it just wins with like Valoris. So this is here by our juicy deck tech of the day. We're just gonna squeeze it in early.
These are bad.
All right, so we've got four Blood Artists, four Cartel Aristocrat, because of course you need the Aristocrat to make an Aristocrat deck. Four Doom Traveler, bad card. One Dryad Arbor, bad card. Four Tuckatong Thalid. Yeah, what's that you say? It's just another Doom Traveler where the token doesn't have flying. It's green. Four Viscerseer, bad card. Four Voice
good.
Of Resurgence.
And that card's good.
That's a good card. Four Young Wolf. That's an undying 1/1 for one.
That
okay, so far that's one.
Not great.
Two, three, four. Four different creatures that you've got four of that cost one mana.
And all
lots
16
to do on
of them
turn
are
one.
Unplayable.
Yep. And then you've got four Abzan Ascendancy, which we talked about earlier, puts a counter on each of your dudes.
Hey.
And then when a creature dies, you get a non-token, or you get a flying token, I should say.
To be fair, this deck probably does a lot of work against Tarmogoyf, because it just has
this
a pile of
really
crappy 1/1s to block Tarmogoyf.
Yeah, no kidding. And then last but not least, we got four Return to the Ranks, so you can convoke for X, and it's X and two white. And it returns X target creatures from your graveyard to the battlefield that cost two or less, I should say, which is everything in your deck, by the way.
This is painful listening to you talk about.
Basically, yeah, I'm just talking about a bunch of junk, but when you put it all together, you get a carefully, you get a polished diamond. Let's put it that way.
You can actually combo off with the Turn of the Ranks and Abs and Ascendancy, too. You sack all your guys and get that many tokens and convoke them to bring all your guys back.
Yeah. There are lots of, like, really cool, like, interactions in this deck. But the most cool thing about it is that there are some board states where you've got a Blood Artist on the table and a Viscerseer on the table, and there's nothing you can do about it without taking a whole shit ton of damage and your opponent getting a whole shit ton of life. So that's kind of cool. Have you guys seen this deck online?
I have.
I think there was a Channel Fireball video on it a couple weeks back, actually.
Yeah, Channel Fireball? Okay, I'm looking at, there's a TCG player one that Frank Lepore has
posted. This thing sounds like a Travis Wu deck.
It
kind of
does, doesn't it? And so it's got the typical sideboard. You got your Burnt and Forged Tenders, which of course belong in this deck. You've got a Choke, Leyline of Sanctity, Stain the Mind, Stony Silence, Torpor Orb, anything that you need to do to hate on another deck. It would be really hard to side in this deck because like everything seems so bad. It's like you want to level up
all
those creatures.
First of all, we just got to get these Dryad Arbors out of the deck. Because he had Dryad Arbor in it twice, so I hope he certainly doesn't have two Dryad Arbors.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And then twice because the deck has 61 cards, so I think it's...
Get the Dryad Arbor out of here, please.
So there's a good reason it's in there, though. Why is that? Do you guys know?
It's a creature.
Well, besides that, is it because you can get a land back with the Return to Ranks, or what?
I feel like if you're casting Return to Ranks, you don't need a forest that has Summoning Sickness.
Nope. Just get it out of here, please.
I don't think so either. I don't understand it, but there's probably a good reason for it. Someone tell me if you find out.
It's probably just a critical mass of creatures you want to hit, and
yeah,
it top decks into a creature, I guess.
No, this deck has no Collected Company in it.
It does
I
not.
Mean, there's
collected
no room for it, but...
Too slow.
Is it
and Collected
slow?
Company, you want to get value off of it. And if you're not playing like any three drops, you're not getting value off of it.
Okay.
Yeah, because I just want to put Doom Traveler and Thuggaton talent into play off of my collected company. That's EOT. Exactly.
That's value.
EOT, two crappy 1-1s that make a 1-1 and a crappy 1-1.
All right, touche.
Response, I'll twin you.
All right, sweet. All
right. Anyways, we can move on, but I just wanted to mention this because I've gotten my ass kicked by this deck a few times in the last couple weeks, and I think it's a thing. I think it's going to happen. I think that it's got some room to grow, but it's pretty fun.
I think you need to be playing better decks if you lose to this deck.
Dude, watch these videos. He beats Twin and Amulet of Vigor. That's Bloom Titan.
It is Bloom Titan.
Actually, I can't tell you that I've actually watched these videos, but I assume that he wins all four of them.
All four he posted, he just wins them all, just steamrolls them, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Anyways, let's move on. There's that. I've got only a few more things to talk about, and I'm going to let you take over, Daryl. One of those things is the control resurgence in Modern. I don't know if you've noticed that, and I don't consider... Never mind, forget that. Control resurgence in Modern. I've got Grixis Control on the list here, and basically what I want to talk about is if you looked at the GP Charlotte results, there was a Michael Majors Control deck. Do you guys see that?
With Jace Vryn's Prodigy times
four
in the main.
Yeah, he's got the Jace, and he's got two Lilianas. So it's a lot like the Grixis deck in composition, but basically switches out a lot of the counterspell stuff for more like discard control. So it's like the Jund version of this deck.
Well, that's just a concession to playing Jace, like... He plays Jace and he flips it, so you can't minus three Jace and flash something back. So, or like a counter spell, so you have to flash back a discard spell.
Yeah. Okay. So, does the Inquisition Kozilek like help him stick too? Right. I assume.
Yeah. He wrote a couple articles about this, developing this deck on Star City.
Oh,
like, he actually called it. He wrote an article about it before the tournament.
Oh. Okay.
Cold shot. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was talking about how Liliana of the Veil is super good in the deck because then it reduces both players' resources, and when both players are very low on resources, Jace is super insane because you could basically draw whatever card you want out of your graveyard.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, it seems insane in this deck. It seems like Snapcaster, like, 5 through 8.
That was the plan, yeah.
Yeah, so having 8 Snapcasters is pretty good.
Plus, you get the nice little Kolaghan's Command loop of flip your Jace, Kolaghan's Command back your other Jace, play your other Jace, so that you can minus the Jace, kill it, and then flip the other Jace, and then, like, just do that thing for a while.
Snapcaster, but slower.
right. So then, this deck must take forever to win. The beatdown plan is with, what, one of the two Tassigers or the Snapcasters, or direct damage to the face with your Lightning Bolts. There's not a lot here that's going to deal damage. Creeping Tar Pit is probably the most common win condition.
Nope, there's not a ton there. I certainly agree with you.
So that sounds pretty miserable.
Winning the game is overrated.
I guess so, but controlling the game, that's a different story.
This deck is straight-up gas. Like, this is exactly what I want to be doing with my life.
Some people play Magic because they like summoning giant dragons. Some people play Magic because they like attacking with swarms of goblins. I play Magic because I like drawing cards. And this deck draws cards.
This deck draws a lot of cards. And if it doesn't draw cards, it just plays the ones you've already drawn and played, and they ended up in your graveyard.
Yep. Oh, you counted that one? All right, I'll play it again. Sweet.
Anyways, compare that to like the more traditional Grixis control. With, you know, you've got your two Gurmag Anglers, two Tassigers. A lot of them have one Cleek or, like, a third Gurmag Angler in them. So they do a lot more damage. Like, even just two Anglers makes a big difference. The other one that showed up, and I can't find the link to it anymore, but somewhere in the top 32, there is another Grixis Control deck. Do you guys remember seeing that at GP Charlotte? Let's see if I can pull that up here. But basically, it was kind of the same sort of design, and I don't know how they arrived at that, if those guys were testing the other or what. But it had, let me see if I can grab it. Pause. All right, here we go. Oscar Flores, 17th place. He had one Glen Alendra on the deck. He had one Maldrifter. Here, let me put this in the chat so you guys can see it as well.
Yeah, those cards are all pretty cool.
Kolaghan's commanding back a Maldrifter.
Yeah, isn't that insane?
Ooh, baby.
I mean,
and so he's only got one Gurmag, and that's the only difference with the creatures.
I can already taste it in my mouth, and it tastes delicious.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Oh, but the full four Kolaghan's Command, no big deal.
Yeah,
I mean that card is just like straight value though. Snapcaster Mage, like that card is like I always want to see all the Kolaghan's Commands when I'm playing that deck. So I think four sounds right.
He's literally playing all of them. He did not skim. His sideboard, like however.
Jace, Architect of Thought in the sideboard. I've really been liking that card a lot in Modern.
His sideboard is hilarious. A Grave Titan, a Thunderball Hellkite, because I can't beat Burn, a Crypt Incursion.
Like, yeah.
I think Grave Titan's really good in the sideboard of Grixis Control because nobody's playing a creature, like a big creature that like they can't deal with. Like they always usually go to like the Jace and the Karno sideboard plan. But like flapping this guy down.
Creature that nobody can deal with.
I mean, yeah, but it doesn't kill you quickly. This guy puts down 10 power on the board.
Like, right, right.
I just feel like these Grixis decks should be playing a Cryptic Command or a Cruel Command in their sideboard.
Would that be better than Grave Titan? Is that seven?
No,
seven mana, right?
Yeah, but you play
it. I think it's like 42.
It's seven. You play it in concert with Grave Titan. So if they kill your Grave Titan, you get it back.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like the pipe train.
Because that's necessary.
All right. It,
that might be called the hype train.
Okay. Okay. So, hey, this, now that I look at this, this doesn't look anything like the Michael Mangers deck. I misremembered it, but it is totally different than your typical Grixis Control. Both of them had the Grave Titan in the sideboard, didn't they? I think Majors had that too.
Card's
maybe
good.
Not. Oh, he didn't have that. Okay. I don't know why I saw that.
I like
another one of the control decks did.
I like the Thunderbolt Hellkite for Anti-Alien Souls.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Like, that's, I mean, that is like the same slot as like a Kronos, wouldn't you say? It's a five drop that's going to put some pressure on.
I think they fill different voids. Thundermaw is trying to get like damage in through it into like whatever, like all the Lingering Souls, whereas Kronos is just like wanting to like grind the game out more. So he's not playing a Kronos.
Yeah, you're never killing that card. So
right.
here's my lightning bolt.
Yeah, right. Kronos is excellent in the mirror because nothing kills it, whereas Thundermaw Hellkite is just going to get terminated.
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, I he's got a lot of the sideboard cards in his main deck, too. Like, he's got one Tribute to Hunger in there, which a lot of Grixis Control decks play in the sideboard for, like, Emrakul and things like that.
Sometimes you gotta get Knot Boggles, man.
Yeah, well, that happens, too. And the life gain is relevant against, like, Burn, too, when you can get, like, even three life off of a Nacatl or something like that.
I've actually really been liking Vampiric Link in the sideboard.
God,
I guess he's not
so
playing
good.
Enough... Gurmag Anglers, but if you're playing four or five big Delve guys, you can Vampiric Link those or Vampiric Link their Eidolon of the Great Revel.
Yep.
And that's a barrel of laughs for sure.
I played Burn this past weekend at a PPTQ against Grixis Delver, and he Vampiric Linked my turn two Eidolon, and I'm just like, that's game.
I guess
oh, that's awesome.
Turn an Eidolon and gain him two life.
Yeah, I had I had to call a judge because I have textless Searing Blazes,
and
I didn't know what the wording was. So I was like, "Can I target my own creature?"
Yes,
and then you
him?
Take the damage. If
no,
you
I take the damage though, so I didn't know I had to take the damage. So I'm like,
"Take five.
I'm not gonna take.
Yeah,
discard
five
two cards.
Take, wow. Take five. Discard a card. Your opponent gains two life.
Yep.
So that's
attack
more
creature.
That's more for like the Delver decks, isn't it, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I play Grixis Delver, but if you are playing multiple Anglers and Tassigers, then you could play it in Grixis Control.
All right, I see. Hey, so tell me why... So typically we're running four Terminates in these decks. This guy's got two, and he's got one Go for the Throat. Why would you want Go for the Throat over Terminate? Is the mana really that inconsistent that you want to, like, go with that?
Yeah, just you don't need the red. Sometimes you don't have double red or something, and you need to kill a guy plus Bolt or something.
Okay.
Yeah, the mana is kind of difficult at points. Usually you have to choose between like finding like double red or double black when you're like fetching. And usually you don't have double black and double red access to you all the time because you always got to fetch for your blue sources for your cryptics. So,
but you don't ever need double black, do you?
You do if you want to like Snapcaster, like Kolaghan's Command, Snapcaster, Kolaghan's Command. Or,
oh my god.
I've done that. That felt so great.
Okay. When you have that
also,
much mana on the table, though, what is that, 10? You've probably got double black, right?
That's
also,
8, yeah.
Also worth noting,
no,
that there's tar pits.
No, it's 10.
So, no, it's 8.
3
oh,
plus
okay.
3 plus 2?
I got you, yeah. Gotcha.
Also worth noting, there's two tar pits, so it's a little easier to come by double black than it is by double red.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, this is an odd list. So, the point being... Control's making a resurgence in Modern. It really hasn't been around for a long time, but ever since Grixis showed up and we talked about Kolaghan's Command making a big impact on the format in previous episodes, it's become a pretty big player. In fact, Modern Nexus lists it at the fourth most played deck in the metagame, and it's only 5.4%, which is cool. That means it's healthy, right? But there are a lot of Grixis control decks floating around, and I would say that because of this, we're seeing a lot of these blue-white decks and a lot of these blue-white-red decks coming back. Merely because Path to Exile is so good against like your Gurmag Anglers and your Taskers, where they're investing so many resources in those cards, and then one mana can remove them. But there are a couple of lists that I posted on here. One of them is like this blue-white-red list that I haven't really seen a whole lot recently. More like the blue-white ones. But this one's so pretty sweet.
So that one is certainly not a control deck. Let's start there.
Okay. It does have the 13 creatures.
That is a tempo deck.
All right.
Any deck with Geist of St. Trafton in the main board is not a control deck. I will stand by that one. But
all right, fair enough. It's your Geist deck.
Aside from my small qualm with that, yeah, this is just like a get the guys out of the way, hit them with Geist three times deck, which is completely reasonable. Like,
yeah. And so this deck that we're mentioning here is one that placed on August 24th, which was, what, just 2 days ago. And it's Paco El Flaco's deck from the Modern Daily on that day. And so he's got 4 snaps, of course, 3 restos, 3 geist, and he's got a whole 3 Vendilion Cleek in the deck. Basically, your typical control suite minus like any kind of Cryptic Command in here, which is odd. But
I actually think that Cryptic Command is pretty poorly positioned right now. Like Michael Major's deck had 0, I believe. Yeah, that's because like since Grixis is on the rise, people are playing so many dispels, and Cryptic is miserable against dispel.
Dispel main is so is like standard now, and it's such a blowout for that card now.
Yeah, and a lot of them have 2 or 3
post board.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. These are sweet. I mean, like I want Geist to be like a thing again. I have 4 Geist. I love that card, and I know Nick does too. So I want to throw these together. But yeah. I mean, the other version of this is like this blue white control deck, and this one definitely is control. It's much
more grindy.
Yeah,
that one is
a
control deck, certainly. Yeah.
And let's see. I gotta pull this one up real fast. This is one that we did on... I did a Card Knock Life plays of this one a couple weeks ago, but there is a control list that runs creature suite of 2 snaps, 2 restos, 2 Wall of Omens, 1 Vendilion Cleek, and 1 Glen Alendra Archmage, which is seeing a lot more play now recently. Probably because...
I like that it has a... In the main deck has 3 Planeswalkers. It has 1 Jace Architect of Thought, 1 Gideon Jura, and 1 Elspeth Sun's Champion.
Which, that card is nuts in Modern. It's
okay,
insane.
So... Let me tell you about Elspeth Sun's Champion.
Yeah, let's hear it, Daryl.
You put it in play against Jund.
Uh-huh.
How does Jund beat it?
They don't. They fucking lose. Oh, wait, there's another one.
Yeah. Like, you put it into play, and you roll it up, and they're like, all right, sweet, Tarmogoyf. You're like, okay, I have jump blockers for infinite.
Yeah.
And if they already have Tarmogoyf, you're like, all right, Elspeth minus, kill your Tarmogoyf, and then they can, like, bolt it. And you're, like, really sad that they bolted your Elspeth. But, like, you killed, like, 2, 5, 6 Tarmogoyfs, and you don't care. Like, you traded 3 for 1 by killing 2 Tarmogoyfs in a pool. Okay. And so, but most of the time, just like 3 blockers against like the Dark Confidant Tarmogoyf deck, they're never going to be able to beat that unless they draw like the 1 Maelstrom Pulse.
Right. Yeah, and not to mention Gideon and Jace are like just trumps in other matchups too. So drawing into one of those Planeswalkers, which is pretty typical when you've got Cryptics, Think Twice, Sphinx's Revelation in this deck. Like for example, Jace shuts down like a Deceiver Exarch combo with his +1. Gideon is like a huge blowout in a lot of cases, just because he's got so many loyalty counters on him. And if you can force all the creatures to attack him, and follow up with like a Cryptic Command or something to tap him down, you're up into like the range where you can just start to pick him off with his -2 or beat down with the 6/6, right?
Make him a 6/6, yeah.
But yeah, Sphinx's Revolution, there's a 1 of in this deck. So speaking of crying when someone has a dispel, there's a situation where you drop 8-9 mana on that thing and you just like get really sad.
So like you just cast, like that's the very last spell you cast most of the time. And even if you just like are in the, like have a bunch of cards in your hand, you just like dump some mana into it and just like make you counter this, and they do, you're like, all right, I was going to play something else anyway. So like you're just like forcing them to like throw away all the counters.
Right. Cool. All right, so I'm excited about Modern right now. I think there's a lot of cool stuff happening. And as we've said time and time again in the last, few months here, I think that the format is really healthy. People have had complaints in the past that it got stale, and I think it's like anything but stale at this point. I don't know if you guys would agree with me, but there's a lot of different stuff that's got a good chance of success in like just about any given tournament.
Yeah, I like it a lot more because there are fewer super linear combo decks that fold to one hate card now.
Right.
Like people are playing more fair decks, I guess.
Yeah, and sadly, one of them is Tron. I hope that deck just dies in a hole.
That's not remotely a fair deck.
That is a super linear combo deck that folds to a card.
Right. Yep. Oh, sorry. Sadly, one of the decks in the meta is Tron. I lost to it last night. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's never going to be a thing that goes away.
I think it's going to get banned one day. I really do. I think we're going to ban one of those freaking
Brian
lands.
Brian Bounduin's solution of banning 8th edition from Modern.
Yeah.
Also, we talked about Blood Moon and Choke.
Yeah, what else?
You have to ban 8th and 9th edition.
Oh.
But yeah,
I think banning Blood Moon seems fine if you ban Tron.
Please?
Like Blood Moon is such an anti-fun card that like you can't play around some games. Like if you have like shock land and like, you know, like a filter land, you just like lost the game.
Yep.
Can we please ban that card? That would be great.
I would vote yay.
Daryl says that because he's got his 5-color control deck sleeved up and ready to go.
Yep. As I've got my one basic land control deck sleeved up, I certainly would like to prepare.
Yeah, I mean, I would be fine. I would trade my Blood Moons for, like, not having to play against Tron again any day. I seriously cannot win a game against Tron or a match against Tron. I've won games, but holy cow. I have never figured out how to play against that deck.
You twin them. That's how you beat them.
I guess so. Like, even if you run the full 4 Fulminators on your side, like a lot of the Grixis control decks do, that's not enough.
It doesn't matter.
You need to get on the board fast.
I play Spreading Seas. I play like 3 to 4 Spreading Seas as my like blue decks.
Yeah.
Because the problem with like Fulminator Mages is 3 mana, so they can get Tron online by the time you get Fulminator out. If you're on like the draw, then they already have a Karn out. But Spreading Seas, you can Spreading Seas their turn 2 land, and you get a draw card off of it.
Yeah, I mean that's cool. Unfortunately, like then you still have to like aggro them out because they're gonna just draw into their 7th land eventually and play their. You know, play that Karn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the games you win are the ones where you drop a turn 2 Tassigar or Gurmag Angler and then remand a couple things.
Yeah. Turn 2? So Thought Scour, Fetch Land, that's one.
Yeah,
three,
if you have two
four.
Fetch Lands, a Thought Scour, and any 1 mana spell.
Okay. All right. Yeah, fair enough. Cool. All right. Well, that's all I got. Daryl, you ready to go hog on Eternal here?
I'm just going to touch pretty much everything. I've already hit Standard, Legacy, and Modern. And I'm going to circle back and touch Vintage and Legacy. And I'm even going to make it to Commander at some point. Yeah, I know, right?
That's what happens.
I'm going to hit everything here.
All right, wait. Pause for bumper.
All right. So Eternal Weekend was the most awesome thing in the world. And I'm going to be doing it for, like, every year until I die. So, essentially, the Saturday event was a Legacy event. It was 11 rounds of Legacy, cut to the top 8, played the next day. I went 4-2-1. I could have kept playing to try and cash, but I was super hungry. And the Reading Terminal Market, which is, like, the greatest place in the world if you've never been there, is just so much stuff going on and so much, like, different things to try. Like, I decided I wanted to go, you know, check that out instead of continuing to slug on for prize monies. But tournament was awesome. After I went to the Terminal Market, I got to sit down and I borrowed a Vintage deck and I got to play in the Vintage Trial, even though I wasn't playing Vintage the next day because that person was playing that deck the next day and they were still in the Legacy Tournament. I got to play, like, 6 rounds of Vintage. And I got to just, like, check out the dealers and I picked up a bunch of Dark Confidant playmats, like, nice. Day was great. Dex was great. I was great. It was wonderful. I loved it. 100% would suggest doing it if you ever get into any Legacy, any Eternal format ever.
What'd you end up playing, Daryl?
I ended up borrowing a Shops deck.
A what?
Shops Workshop.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Is that called Mud?
Deck, not with Hangerback Walker?
Not with Hangerback Walker.
Oh, man.
Yeah, just the plain old vanilla cut off the Forge Master's Shops deck.
Oh, yeah, plain. Boring.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Boring old Vintage deck.
Yeah,
sounds pretty fun. Seven hangerback walkers made it into the top eight of that tournament.
Yeah, I think something like that.
Nice.
But Legacy, four-color Delver, winner. Four-color Delver by the de facto of they splashed green for, you know, Death Ray Shaman. But
nice.
Four-color Delver was the winner by Bob Wong. Nothing really exciting in the top eight until you get to the eighth place deck.
All right.
Jeskai Splinter Twin.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
Sounds like a Legacy deck.
Yeah.
Not quite. I am going to go through the deck because most people, like, I didn't know it was in this deck. I had to read it a couple of times. Two Jace, three Deceiver Exarch, three Pestermite, two Snap, two Vendilion Click, four Ponder, three Dig Through Time, four Brainstorm, four Bolt, four Force, two Counterspell, a Spell Snare, a Pyroblast, an EE, four Splinter Twins, four Volcanics, a Tundra, a Plateau, four Island, a Mountain, nine Fetchlands of various varieties. And then the sideboard was two Pyroblast, two Wear and Tear, two Sulfur Elemental, two Flusterstorm, two Canidus, two Misdirection, two Relic of Progenitus, and an Izzet Staticaster.
And of course he means Jace, Architect of Thought, since we're playing a modern deck,
right?
Oh,
sorry. Jace the Mind Sculptor, sorry. I just assume when I say Jace, that's the only Jace I ever play with. Jace the Mind Sculptor.
The new Jace was in the top eight, too. One of the Delver decks played Jace.
Was playing, yes. He was also seen in Vintage.
Hey, remember when that card was $10?
Yeah, not anymore. Certainly not going to be anymore.
Yeah, I know.
But,
my God.
This deck's actually kind of sweet. The guy that played this also did a write-up. And he's like, yeah, you just kind of grind him out with the control roll. And then you're just like, yeah, all right, I'll twin you now. and then against the like black-green decks, you have two misdirections. So you just misdirect the Abrupt Decay to their like Tarmogoyf and twin them anyways.
And they never see it coming.
I mean, they might if they even have a clue as to how the heck you would sideboard against them. But that deck was sort of, you know, the big hitter, the deck that everyone kind of talked about. I would not exactly go out on a limb and play this deck cold, which is what this guy did. He's just like, I'm usually playing Miracles. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to sleeve up Splinter Twin. That's what he did. Nice. And I would not go out on a limb and play this deck cold. I would need a little bit of experience with it. Although, shockingly, Dictor Time and Brainstorm enable some broken combo deck. What a stunner.
How much longer do you think Dig Through Time has in the format?
It should have got banned on the last ban list, but they didn't ban it.
Oh, man. And, that's sad.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at the top eight decks. Dig Through Time deck. Oh, Jace Varen's Prodigy and Dig Through Time deck. Merfolk, not a Dig Through Time deck. But it could be. Lands, not a Dig Through Time deck. Delver, Dig Through Time deck. Omnitail, four Dig Through Time deck. It's the only one with four. Look, Grixis Delver, another Dig Through Time deck. So, and there's one more I missed at the bottom, which is another Dig Through Time deck, Grixis Delver. So six of the eight decks were Dig Through Time decks.
How many of those decks were Brainstorm decks?
Seven, or six of the eight, actually.
So, I mean, I don't know, I don't think that's a valid argument because Brainstorm's in the format, and that's like 80% of the format as well.
So right. The thing is that Dig Through Time pushes the black-green decks out of the format by default because the black-green decks used to be able to like slap bite you with Hand Disruption, and then Brainstorm was just like a cantrip that literally you just were like, look at these three cards, hope one of them's good, none of them are good, crap. And then you just like play the next card that you, you know, the best of the three that you kept. Or you would, like, let you play the back-and-forth game against this card. Whereas, like, this card can, like, slap bite you for a while, and then you just draw Dig Through Time. You're like, all right, Dig Through Time, take two of the best seven, play them both, go. And then the black-green deck was just dead.
Right. So, I agree with you. I was just playing Devil's Advocate. Like, I agree
that's
a very, very good card, but, like, it's...
I understand you're playing Devil's Advocate, but the fact that Dig Through Time made Omnitail go from, like, a kind of consistent deck to, like, the literal most consistent... Yeah.
Right.
Tier 1, unbelievably smooth.
Best deck in the format.
That's sort of adventurous to say, but
it's
close.
It's close with that Miracles.
Certainly top tier.
Correct.
And then all the Delver decks sort of now get to play this grindy game and play the Delver strategy of like Wasteland and Daze You. Like, that's just a little too much for that card to enable. And it should have seen a ban last time. And I would be stunned if after Battlefield Zendikar comes out, Dig Through Time was still a legal card in Legacy.
Really?
We've seen in Modern, too. It's not quite comparable, but, like, they banned Dig Through Time and Treasure Cruise when Delver was the best deck. And Delver still has that grinding power with Kolaghan's Command now. Like, Kolaghan's Command might be Legacy playable if Dig Through Time gets
like,
the X.
People play, like, play it as a one-up, but it's just not as impactful as, like, Fill-Up Go. Like, Fill-Up Go doesn't do as much, or does much more for decks than, like, this, like, okay, get my Delver back or get my Young Pyro back.
I'm saying if Dig Through Time gets the X, yeah. I think Delver can still hang in the late game using Kolaghan's Command instead.
Correct. I don't think it will be as aggressively, like, aggressively grindy as a Dig Through Time Delver deck. But is what I'm saying. Like, Delver will have some late game power to, like, try and claw back into it, but the decks that, like, do have a hold over Delver in the late game will, like, actually be able to hold them down instead of just Dig Through Time putting two threats into play and they can't be beat. So that's the thing. Vintage Top 8. We saw a standard card in the Vintage Top 8. A few standard cards. One of the most notable being Dragonlord Dromoka. Dragonlord Dromoka in the Oath of Druids deck barely bested Mikokoro, the Center of the Sea, in the Grixis Thieves deck with multiple Notion Thieves.
Huh.
So, I mean, if we're in the market for crazy strange cards that get played that seem to have no reason but are awesome, welcome to Vintage. The Oath of Druids deck, for those of you that don't like know what it does, Oath of Druids is if someone has more creatures than you, reveal the top card of your library until you hit a creature, put it in the play. So it uses Dragonlord Dromoka as a 5/7 flying lifelink City of Solitude, because most of Vintage's disruption is counterspell based, and most people don't play Swords Plungers. So you put that guy into play, they can never counter anything you do. You tap a land that gives them another creature, so you get the Oath again and put either Gristlebrand or Oriok Salvagers into play. And if it's Oriok Salvagers, you get to make infinite mana, pick up Pirate Spell off, and shoot them for 2 to death. And if it's Gristlebrand, oh, I guess I'll just draw 7 cards and then attack for 5 lifelink. No big deal.
5.
Dragonlord Dromoka.
Oh, it's Dragonlord. Right.
Yeah.
Got it.
So,
yeah, you know, the other giant flying lifelink flyer in Vintage.
Yeah. That thing that happened. And it barely bested the, like, Young Pyromancer, the Dak Fate Notion Thief Consecrated Sphinx deck. So there's that.
What place did this guy get?
Which one?
The one that we're talking about.
The Dak Faden Notion Thief Consecrated Sphinx deck?
No. The
Oath of Druids deck?
Is that what I'm looking at? I don't know what to call this deck. Yeah, the Oath of Druids deck.
He won.
Oh, he's... Okay. Yeah, because it doesn't say it on here. So he got first place.
He was the champion. Yeah, he was the champion. The Oath of Druids deck was the winner.
Wow. Why would they not put that on here? Why would they not put first place on here? They know, right? They know who won.
at the top of the coverage, it's like at the beginning, if you like look at the coverage,
yeah.
If you go from the Vintage Championship page, it tells you that guy won.
God, I hate this freaking website. I tell
you,
it's not the worst.
But standard
it's actually
cards.
It's easier to Google the page you want than to navigate the website.
Yeah, I found that. And even that, I like have to try it 4 or 5 times.
We saw quite a few standard cards show up in Vintage, though.
Yeah.
We have, you know, Monastery Mentor being a better Young Pyromancer. Narset Transcendent showed up as a one-of in a Vintage deck. Hangerback Walker showed up in the Workshops decks.
Yeah, as a 4-of.
Dragonlord Dromoka showed up in the Oath deck. Recently, rotated out Notion Thief showed up in the Grixis Thieves deck. So, I mean, you're seeing a lot of reasonably powerful cards printed in the past couple of years show up.
This Grixis Thieves deck is sweet. 2 Snap, 2 Notions, 2 Notion Thief, 1 Consecrated Sphinx, and 1 Sphinx of the Steel Wind. How does it get all the mana for that? It's just all the
Sphinx of the Steel Wind is your. So Sphinx of the Steel Wind is your Tinker target.
Okay.
So you play Tinker, which is 3 mana, sacrifice an artifact.
And you sacrifice
an artifact creature. Or a mana crypt, and you put Sphinx of the Steel Wind.
Is that really the best thing you can get? Isn't
Blightsteel Colossus? Why do you play that over Blightsteel Colossus if no one plays Swords?
Because people play Jace, which is the thing, bouncing your guys off.
Sphinx has protection from red and green.
Correct, but like sometimes you need flying and lifelink. Sometimes you're not interested in like Blightsteel Colossus. So like it just depends on like the way your deck is built. And it looks like in this deck you just felt like you needed more life to like probably be able to like do the Time Vault Key combo if he ever draws Mana Crypt and like races Mana Crypt.
I see.
Because sometimes you will just like play a Mana Crypt to get ahead early, and if you can't kill it off, you just die to it because Lightning Bolt is not unreasonable when your opponent is like doing other things to you. Like playing Monastery Mentor and attacking me. And stuff like that. So,
well, that deck looks fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff going on. I don't know what deck I'm gonna play in Vintage when I do the card plays, but this format is sweet.
Yeah.
And so that's all I got for Vintage. Lots of cool stuff showing up. If you don't watch the format, if you didn't see the archives, go check it out.
Yeah, Daryl, awesome. I think I'm gonna sell my car.
There you go. You can get it on Moto for much cheaper, man.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Well, yeah, way cheaper.
But unfortunately, I have a Mac. There.
Ooh.
So we'll get to that. One day.
That's rough.
Don't even get me started on that, man. I could just rant about that because I want to give them my money.
But they don't want it.
They don't want my money.
They don't want your money. So, you know, I obviously talked about decks locked in for the Invitational.
Yeah.
So now we're going to get to the oft-maligned on this podcast, Commander Corner.
Oh, my gosh. Where are we going, Daryl? Where are you taking us?
I started playing some Commander with the judges recently. Hanging out.
Oh, yeah.
I had some time to kill. And I was just playing, and then, like, somebody handed me a deck that I actually had a copy of. And I hadn't considered a card for it. And it was just, like, really cool. And I was just like, all right, this is one of those, like, unknown gems that if people play Commander, they probably know about. And you guys can lay these on me if you have, like, one. But, like, I got to punish a whole table with Gruul Rage Beast.
What the hell is that?
It's a 5-red-green 6/6 beast. Whenever it or another creature you control comes into play, that creature fights another creature.
Oh, yeah. By the way, a Rage Beast is one word. In case
yes,
you
know. I knew that.
Hey, it's a beast made of rage.
It's not even hyphenated. It's a rage beast.
just rage beast. Yeah. So, somebody handed me their green red commander deck. I'm like, I have this deck. Sweet, I'll play it. And you know, I was just playing it. And I was like, this card, what's this card here? And I read it. I was like, okay, it's got to be okay. I played it, and I fought like a 5/5.
Uh huh.
And then I untapped and I played a Wyrmcoil Engine. and fought a Kozilek, and then the worms fought like a Xur the Enchanter and a Sidri Galvanic Genius, and then like I just untapped and played the like Eldrazi that gets a guy to your graveyard and put the Wyrmcoil Engine back into play, and I was like, oh, okay, this is not reasonable. So I basically got like 7 removal spells out of this guy for playing like 3 creatures. It was cool, man. Like that card was way better than I thought it was going to be. Because I just read it and I'm like, all right, this will be fine. And then I just started like drawing cards. And I'm like, this deck's just full of gigantic idiots and I'm going to kill everything. This is like Wrath of God, basically, on a 6/6.
And if you're in the market for other red 7-mana creatures with hardcore names that are sweet in Commander, you might want to check out Stalking Vengeance.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one,
that
too.
That guy's pretty good. Yeah.
Big, dumb 7-mana.
Yeah, that was my thing. Like, I played this Gruul Rage Beast, and I was like, I'm going to be thoroughly underwhelmed. And I was overwhelmed. I killed, like, 7 creatures, and then I played, like, a Furnace of Wrath, and everyone died. It was great.
So anyways, moral of the story, Daryl's a born-again Commander player. So we're going to become a Commander podcast next week.
Just swinging by the Commander Corner, saying, hey, don't forget this thing. People like to do it. You know what?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. You got to keep the sealed Commander decks together because those are like the most balanced. But if you go and you like play a game of Commander with someone like randomly, you don't always have that experience, Daryl. You always end up like, hey man, I've got a Commander deck. It's not very competitive, but like I'd be willing to throw it on a game. And then they pull out a deck and like 3 turns later, they've got like some like lockdown on you or something that involves like Stasis and like Venser or something.
Just, like, sure.
Unfortunately, that's what it's become. We've lost sight. we've lost sight of the goal here.
we've lost sight of playing the big dumb knuckleheads.
Yeah. We used to sit in the dorms and, like, just jam Commander all night, and it was the funnest thing ever because we didn't have, like, extremely powered decks, and games went for a really long time, and people were playing cards that you had to read because you didn't know what they did.
I mean,
I still like that. Have you ever heard of the card Fumarole?
Oh, I have. I can't remember what it does.
So it's sorcery that costs 3 red-black. It's from Ice Age, I think.
Yeah.
It's like the classic old Ice Age art that doesn't make any sense. And it's destroy target creature and target land. You lose 3 life. That's a 2-for-1.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty, actually. That's pretty reasonable. Yeah. Like,
it's a sorcery.
I've never had anyone not read it.
There's a lot of text, too, with the flavor text. That was what those old sets were all about. It was like, there's room in the text box? Okay, let's write a paragraph.
Yeah, let's give them some flavor.
Let's write a bunch of bullshit that no one's going to read. All right. But yeah, anybody got anything else?
No, I'm good.
All right, well, we better wrap up. We're actually within just over an hour today, so I think that's a nice bite-sized chunk of information.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm on my B game tonight.
I'll
come better prepared next week, but anyway.
Can we trade you for Silent Shuming?
Yeah, for next week.
And a player to be named later.
Yeah, sure. Let's do that. All right. Anyways, thanks for coming on, Sam. Thanks for coming back, Nick. And Daryl, thanks for always being on here. I don't know.
You've got thanks for coming back. Me.
All right.
You got a friend in me. All right, I'm done.
Daryl, yeah, anytime you need someone to agree with everything Daryl says about Control being the best ever in all formats, you call me up.
Yeah. Perfect. I'll call you every week.
Daryl, you better send Nick your list.
Bunch of filthy aggro players around here.
Guys ain't dressed so good, though, right?
Yuck. I owned a red card once.
I own red cards actively now, and it still feels bad.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
Limited.
John's going to be pissed that you guys are, like, just slaying his game here.
He knows that we like him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Anyway, that's all we got. See you later.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.